GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Stephen Lucy and Dati O'Callaghan, formerly of Limerick and Dublin respectively, have joined me in studio to preview a huge day tomorrow. Lads, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
Before we get into the specifics of each game, Dati, your thoughts. We've seen 1 week of this new and brand spanking shiny championship structure. What are your thoughts overall?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it's fascinating, to be honest with you. I suppose from my own playing point of view, I just, you know, looking back over the years, you might maybe potentially lose the first game. And you could be hanging around waiting for 5 or 6 weeks, and you know, with potentially losing that one as well. So, I think from a player's point of view, this is fantastic. I think this is what players want. They want to be playing weekly. Maybe the timing, guys have college exams and stuff like that. Maybe the timing could be looked at. But I think it's set up. I think it's set up beautifully over the next couple of weeks to see some you know, fantastic games and some huge battles. And you know, it's just intriguing to see what way it's going to go. You know.
Yes, Stephen. It's putting hurling front and centre far earlier in the summer than we normally would have it. And players love games, and it's dramatically reducing the training sessions to games ratio, which can only be a good thing from your point of view and guys out there at the moment.
Oh yeah, definitely. Sure. Like players, you just want to be playing games. There's too many training sessions going back even when we were playing. There's just too many. I think that maybe four games in a row, I think Waterford are at a disadvantage, or any other team that has their four games in a row is at a disadvantage. I think that 2 weeks is the optimum time frame to have games to allow for recovery. I was reading some articles during the week that you play your match, you get home, you have something to eat, you get home, and then you're trying to recover, but you just get up and go to work the next morning and come back at it again and rejig. You'd only be just ticking over for the few weeks. So having said that, it's still very, very exciting. It's something new. Why not try it, you know?
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. It's certainly week one, had anything to go by. We've plenty to look forward to. We might as well start with Dublin, Dati, given that we have you in studio. It was, of course, Liam Blanchfield that broke their hearts last weekend with that injury time goal for Kilkenny at Parnell Park. And as we've been saying, luckily enough, they do have a chance to get straight back onto the field and try and rectify it. Tommy Dunn chatting to Nathan on Thursday evening, the former Tip midfielder and a man who's obviously been very close to Dublin hurling at times over the last few years. He feels that Pat Gilroy's men are making strides, but how they faded so badly in the final few minutes against Kilkenny is what worries him.
I know from preparing championship teams in the past, you know, the old way of doing it was you kind of prepared for the very first game. And it was very obvious that Dublin had a strategy. They had a game plan. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the way Kilkenny were going to play. And they set up accordingly to their own strengths. Now, the question is, did they have time to prepare a similar strategy or a specific strategy to play against Wexford? And if they did, that's a hell of a job that they've done. And if they can execute it successfully, that is phenomenal work from a management and coaching perspective. But it would be extremely difficult to do. So I don't really know what to expect. I think Dublin will play to their strengths again, which is their athleticism. Their half-back line is strong. They obviously Rush and Keeney in particular are their go-to attacking players, with Rush really the fulcrum, where everything goes direct to him and he runs direct and lays off. So will they be able to play a similar strategy against a Wexford team that play very deep and risk losing a lot of kind of first phase possession to balls going into Rush? And what do they have outside of that? That's the thing. And that's why I'm saying Kilkenny have fellas on the bench, Galway have fellas on the bench, Wexford probably maybe not as much, but they probably have a bit few more options than Dublin. So it's very hard to know. But Dublin have a good base, and I think when the dust has settled, if even a week is enough time for dust to settle on the Dublin Kilkenny, there's a lot that they have going right for them. You know, they will take a lot of confidence out of it. What I was kind of found strange about the Dublin thing was how they faded so badly in the last 10 minutes, and how almost very suddenly how their discipline, it was Dublin's discipline, I think, that just cost them the game. I know Kilkenny nailed it when they got the chance, but Dublin conceded four or five frees in the last 10 minutes. they conceded nine frees to TJ and four to Owen Murphy. So that's a clear area for improvement. And, you know, the game, I think, will improve Dublin if they can recover in time. To have a game under your belt, obviously a win is huge, but Dublin, you know, Dublin aren't a million miles away, and like, I'd give them a chance against Wexford. I would give them a real chance against Wexford if they can get back up to the pitch of it very quickly.
If they can get back up to the pitch of it quickly, Dottie, that is the key question, isn't it? We've Stephen Lucy and Dottie O'Callaghan in studio with us. The balance from taking a huge number of positives from the manner in which you performed against Kilkenny, we're trying to get over the way you lost it, the fact that you lost it, the fact that you're back out onto the field just a week later. I mean, I'm sure they were devastated after the game.
Yeah, Dave, to be honest, it's like, from one side of it, Dublin, from a hurling point of view, have not had a display like that in a number of years. So hugely positive to see the energy, the drive, the commitment to the jersey, which the management have obviously instilled in the team. So from that point of view, it was fantastic. I think the players and the management did see an opportunity there. Kilkenny were, I think they had seven debutants there on the day. So I'm pretty sure that they really smelt an opportunity to go and win it. And you could see that the belief was there, and they really targeted as well. Unfortunately, they didn't finish out the job. But I think there was a lot of Dublin supporters walking away from Parnell Park, you know, hugely proud of the team and hugely excited about where it can go. Now, obviously, we Tommy mentioned there kind of a weak recovery, and Wexford maybe are coming in fresh now as well and have seen what Dublin are capable of. And
the same way that Dublin had Kilkenny lined up for weeks.
Exactly.
Wexford have been doing that to Dublin.
Yeah, and you could say that was a target all year for Dublin. Yeah. So it is massive, and it's, that from a mental point of view, how Dublin can recover is going to be huge. You know, I think even from the team point of view, they did a lot of physicality in the forward line. I really like the look of you have Danny Sutcliffe, Liam Rush and Conal Keeney in the forward line. Unfortunately, Conal Keeney, who had a great game, looks like he's obviously out for this week. So that's a massive loss. So they'll have to tamper that a bit, and it'll be interesting to see if Fintan McGibb is in there as well. So a different type of player. Who'll probably come in at wing forward and busy with huge work rate, and will get on lots of ball and will cause lots of problems, but wouldn't have the same physicality, say, as Connell. So they will have to change things around a little bit there as well. And obviously you're looking at the impact Liam Rush made, and he's going to be coming up against Liam Ryan, a hugely physical player as well, and who's going to be totally ready and geared up and prepared for Liam Rush as well. So now, I don't know if you can prepare for Liam Rush too well if he's in that sort of form, but another credit to the management, the Dublin management, is that, I suppose, the level of conditioning and the level of fitness there in lads was really, really good to see. And some of the guys there, I don't think, you haven't seen them as fit and as agile in a number of years. So, Dublin are primed, and they're in a position now where they've lost their first game. They're gone down to Wexford Park, and look, your championship life is at stake here. So, you'd be expecting another fully blooded display. And, I think they're going to need Liam Rush to have another huge game. And I think they're going to create goal chances and score goals if they're going to win the game.
Would you fear for them, Stephen?
Well, I would go a little bit with what the two lads have said. Can Dublin recover emotionally from that? Mm. That's a fierce blow to the stomach, having invested so much. They clearly targeted that match. They threw the kitchen sink at Kilkenny. To come out of it with just losing by a couple of points is a hammer blow, considering that I felt it was a free out for the foul when Blanchfield got the goal.
But it was coming in that. Yeah. Kilkenny were on top.
They were
suddenly all the momentum was with them. Did you put that down at the time to fatigue?
Yes, that's what I was going to say next.
Or was it they kind of just froze on the edge of the finish line?
I think it was a little bit of panic the closer Kilkenny got to them, and just a little bit of fear at the finish line. It reminds me a bit of when we were playing football against Kerry. We were in front most of the matches, and then when it came to the finish line, we were kind of panicking and kind of trying to hold on, and Kerry just came through just because they knew they were going to win. It's a similar kind of scenario playing the likes of Kilkenny. It's nearly a mental block almost, but credit to Kilkenny. It's true for Brian Cody that whatever the final score is, all that matters there.
Yeah.
I also fear that maybe they've shown their hand a little bit.
Surprise element is gone.
Yeah, to Wexford, but they had to. They clearly targeted that game, given that Kilkenny had, seven debutants, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, look, they played the game against Kilkenny the same way that Wexford approach. It's all guns blazing. It's helter-skelter. It's fierce passion and intensity. So can Dublin bring that intensity, and will they be able to match and even go further? If they do bring it, it will be for some humdinger of a game.
It's such a pity though, Dottie, isn't it? I mean, look, we're both Dubs. We only have to open our mouth and people will hear that. But if they were coming down to Wexford Park with 2 points, and on the and the fillip you get from beating a Kilkenny, it would be far easier for them to brush away the absence of Colin Keeney, and they're just taking this wave of momentum down to the Sunshine to take on Wexford with them.
Absolutely.
But it just feels like, I know the result dictates everything, and here is a prime example of that. It just feels like the wind has been knocked from the sails.
I suppose that's where the psychological element is going to come into it, you know, and I suppose even talking about that, I remember 13 when we did manage to get over Kilkenny in the replay. We were literally going out to play a Leinster final 7 days later, and I would have bet the mortgage on us winning that game, to be honest with you. So that was the reality of it, you know, and the lift we got from that. And there's a lot of guys on that Dublin team who played the last couple of years who haven't, to be honest with you, Dave, they haven't even played in a game like that. Mm. They haven't played in a game where they've really gone toe-to-toe with a top contender and shown that they could go on and win the game. So there's a lot of them are going to take huge confidence from that. And there's some really, really good players coming up in Dublin. So, look, you know, I know they didn't get over the line, but, I mean, I'd be expecting, you know, I think they'll get a lot of belief from it as well, you know, knowing that they're that close. But, look, it's all to see, and to be honest, it's going to be intriguing to see. I think in the first 10, 15 minutes, I'll be fascinated to see Dublin and their level of performance, because I think we'll get a good indicator of where the heads are at early on, you know.
What about Wexford? It was hard to know what to make of them in the league. They didn't quite take the league and maybe as seriously as they did last year when they were clearly targeting promotion from Division 1B. They didn't score from playing the first half in their defeat to Kilkenny, and they're obviously a side with real ambition to go a bit further than they did last year. Like, we're talking All-Ireland semi-final, All-Ireland final, maybe win a Leinster title. So have you got a grasp on where they are, or are they a little bit of an unknown quantity heading into this game tomorrow?
I think Davey would be very happy with where Wexford are at the moment. Last year was a breakthrough year. They did very, very well. This year it was key to build on it and develop some new players. I think they've done that. I think the O'Connors there are excellent. Having Jack Guiney there is excellent as well. They've got a solid spine. I think they're playing to a game plan. They believe in Davey. I think Davey is great at bringing people together, in that the team and the supporters and himself are all on the same wavelength, and you'll see everybody wound up to the hilt in the game at the weekend. I think they beat Kilkenny in the Waterford, or in the Walsh Cup. They beat them in the league group stages, I think, and then I think they possibly were happy enough with that. I think they didn't want to fully go for it in the match, the knockout game against Kilkenny, I don't think. Whereas it was important for Kilkenny, it was more important for them to win it. So, but having said that, I think they are building, they're going in the right direction, and I'd be intrigued. I'm really looking forward to watching it.
Big question when you Pat Gilroy sitting down to, he's obviously picked his team, but who goes where, is who looks after Lee Chin? What would you be doing? Oh, and O'Donnell did so well on TJ Reid a week ago. Does he take Lee Chin? Is Sean Moran sweeping again?
I think you could see a situation now where you've Owen O'Donnell turning into a bit of a, you know, a bit of a serious man marker.
Dublin's hatchet man.
Well, a hatchet man with a bit of class and a bit of style, like Stephen here. I mean, Owen is a monstrous figure, and he's a really good hurler there. So I think he'll happily follow anybody who he's told to follow, and he'll happily embrace that challenge as well. So
Lee Chin is a talisman for them.
Yeah, I would imagine picking up Lee Chin.
And from what you know of Owen, is he the kind of character that embraces that kind of a role? We see it with Lee Keegan a lot with Mayo.
Yeah,
generally, Lee Keegan will be asked to look after their opposition's best player.
Yeah.
So you're taking on TJ Reid and Lee Chin in consecutive games, probably two of the top five hurlers in the country.
And he'll lap that up. He'll absolutely lap that up. And you know, if he starts coming out early and I suppose upsetting Lee and, you know, winning balls and stuff like that, all these little things will give Dublin a lift early on as well. But Owen will certainly embrace that challenge as well, you know. But I suppose going back to Wexford as well, I think that losing that last league game to Kilkenny, and probably in disappointing fashion as well, I think Davey would be nearly happy about that. And that's a little stick to beat them with about the last game in Wexford Park. Absolutely. So I mean, you'd be expecting they know the importance of this, getting off to an early win as well, and it's going to be all guns blazing, I'd imagine, you know.
Yeah, I think Wexford Park is a bit of a fortress for them. Like, they really lap that up, you know, and they'll be targeting certainly their home game. Certainly to this, it'd be a big blow for Wexford if they lose this, I would think.
Yeah, and obviously it's such a fill-up for Dublin if they do it. Dublin pretty much out. and just targeting that game with Offaly if they don't win this game tomorrow. Do you give them a chance, Dotsy?
I do. I just think they're going to need to score goals. I think they're going to need 2 or 3 goals. And I just think they're going to need to spread the scores as well, just from around the field, you know. So it's going to be, look, I suppose...
Do we know who's going to be standing over the frees? Paul Ryan didn't have his best
afternoon last weekend.
You think he'll be on the game tomorrow? David Tracy, I think, is close to playing.
Yeah, he's on the bench.
Coming
back from
injury, I actually saw him yesterday. Yeah. He looked fine, but... Yeah. Whether or not we maybe...
I'd say you'll see Paul probably. Well, I put Paul his name to start, so I'd imagine he'll be on them to start anyway. Yeah.
Okay. The other game in Leinster, we won't spend as much time on it, Kilkenny against Offaly. They gave as good as they got against Galway, Stephen, certainly for the first 30 minutes, 32 minutes or so. And Offaly tend to do that, where they kind of will stick with you, but you know that the superior team isn't really under threat. Mm-hmm. I mean, can they rattle Kilkenny's cage? Will they have seen enough chinks in the Kilkenny armour a week ago to think that if we could just get under their skin, we can at least make it an uncomfortable afternoon for them?
Yeah, I think so. I'd give Offaly a chance. Kevin Martin seems like a tough nail, and he's engendering a good spirit in this group. He's bringing through the young players. I think they need to protect their full back line a bit more. Now, having said that, Galway were very strong, and you could see a clear point that Galway made to try and go for their goals. So, having said that, Kilkenny, I still think, will be favourites. They're operating at a different level to Offaly. You'd hope for a good game. You don't want to see any team getting beaten well. I do expect maybe Kilkenny could come through maybe 6 or 7 points.
Okay. First weekend of the Munster Championship, and like, I just can't wait. I'm at the Gaelic Grounds tomorrow for the Tip Limerick game. We might as well start with that. The other game is Cork against Clare. Overnight, we learned that Michael Ryan has named a side showing 4 players making their championship debuts. Brian Hogan in goal. He gets the nod ahead of Darren Mooney. There is no room for Seamus Callaghan, which is a huge surprise. We had heard that he would have been fit enough to come back in, albeit having played so little hurling. Noel McGrath, Bubbles Dwyer, Dan McCormick all back into the forward line. But the real surprise is a full back. James Barry has been left out after his performance in the league final defeat to Kilkenny. Seamus Kennedy has been named in that position instead. And you look at their bench. Brendan Marr, Bonner Marr, Michael Breen, James Barry, Seamus Callaghan, to name just a few guys who they have to bring in, which is just unbelievable.
I'm very surprised with that team selection.
Does he know his best team?
Is it a kick up the arse for maybe not performing in the latter stages of the league, or is it kind of just resting lads and kind of having lads ready to go in then?
There could be 3 reasons there. Like, I mean, there's 4 matches. Yeah. So they need to mind fellas. Some of those players are a little bit older and they might need them further on. Secondly, those guys come back from injury. Seamus Callaghan has a bad back, and that's I don't know how fully pain-free and stuff he is and how flexible and able to get down, and mobility-wise, there's bound to be, well, not bound to be, there could be an issue there. Plus, he hasn't got much game time, so maybe he's not as sharp. Plus, anyway, Jason Ford is absolutely flying it. And John McGrath has been flying it for the last 2 years. And then Bubbles, like, who's got serious wrists and very, very accurate. So you've got those 3 now, and Noel McGrath are super, super forwards.
Is it a case as well that Mick Ryan, like, he used so many players in the league, he never really had the full complement of players available to him, that maybe he's just still genuinely doesn't know what the best his best team is.
I think he set out with the aim possibly of growing the panel and trying to find a couple more players and try and give them some game time to try and develop it. But the way the league went, I don't think he got a set. The problem is now he doesn't have a settled team. He doesn't. There's players in all different positions. He was Ronan Maher was midfield. I don't know why, you know, Parag Maher is 6 or 7.
Kennedy, like a fullback. He was midfield throughout the
year. I don't know. But again, we're only commenting from the outside. Yeah, we don't know what goes on in training and matches. You know, we don't know what kind of form. Is Bonner Maher injured? You know, I'm very surprised Brendan Maher is left out. I don't know what that is. Maybe he's got so much mileage on the clock. Maybe he's going for fresher legs. You know,
you could argue again, the first game is the most important game. Like, you lose it, you're just on the back foot completely.
I agree. You have, like, it's crucial to get after that first win, you know. So then again, I suppose, like, you look at Limerick's bench, maybe, you know, I'm sure Michael Ryan is expecting Tipperary to be, you know, in a very strong position. And, you know, if the game is close or whatever, like, to be firing on these lads.
So maybe he's looking at his finishers rather than his starters.
True, yeah, well, John Allen took that approach in 2013. He kept, as he said, and he said it openly, that he's got 4 great guys to come on, and they were scoring points and they were winning. They won Munster and, you know, didn't.
I suppose it's just especially in the situation that it's in with the group stage.
Yeah.
You know, if you could allow to do that, maybe, you know, you're keeping lads very fresh as well and you're keeping the thing going. But I suppose, as you said, the first game is so important.
I thought
important
you'd put out your best team in, if you possibly could, even the players you'd know and trust in the first game. But so I can't read what the management are doing here.
But Tip are one of those teams, along with Waterford, that are playing four weekends on the trot. So I don't know if that is a factor in the thinking of Mick Ryan.
It must be. Take the ages of the players and the injury. You can't play Shamie Callan four games in a row, so maybe you give him 20 minutes, you know, and then get him the three games, just gently easing him back in. You don't want to hurt him again.
It's something to look forward to, seeing Shamie in there now with Jason Ford at some point.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of the debate, wasn't it? The build-up to the game. How are they going to set themselves up if they do pick the two of them?
I would say this, though. If Jason Ford was playing as well as he is, but he was in a different position, you might, and somebody else say it was only like 50-50, you know, of getting their spot, then maybe Shamie Callan would have got that spot. Maybe they don't want to move Jason Ford out to full forward. And they know Shamie's position is full forward as well, so now you have two full forwards.
16 minutes left to the RDS. It's still Leinster leading Munster by 13 points to 8. So that Pro 14 semi-final is on a knife edge at the moment. So I'm sure John Kiely, along with the rest of us, was thinking about how he was going to set his team up once he had seen the Tipperary team. And I wonder how much of his thinking changes now that James Barry's not on the edge of the square and that it is Seamus Kennedy. He has to decide who the best guy to put in on top of him is. Who is that?
I don't think he was looking at them too much. I think he's focusing. If you look at the team, it's pretty much the same team that's played the entire league. So they've consistency.
It's kind of the opposite of where Tipperary are in terms of how settled the team is.
Limerick have definitely grown. I like the way they're developing. They're going to a game plan. They're fighting very, very hard to stay in all those games throughout the league and go into extra time. They're doing very well. They've found a couple of good players into form. Seamus Flanagan is full forward, so he'll be the guy marking Seamus Kennedy. And he had a great league, and he also played very well in the Fitzgibbon Cup for UCD. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on, even though it is his Munster Championship. But these guys have played minor and under 21. He's 221 All-Irelands. He's played in two minor All-Irelands, so he should have no fear. Young fellas don't seem to have any fear these days.
I coached Seamus in UCD with the Freshers last year. He's a great bloke. And he didn't start the under 21 final for Limerick, but he's come on. I'm not putting that down to my coaching ability. But he's flying it, and he's really, you know, he's taking it in. He's very, very focused on his game and learning, and he's a great individual. And he's, you know, I can see him, he's going to develop. As I said, this is going to be a cauldron for lads as well, and maybe Limerick will be a bit younger in that regard as well. So how they react to that as well, and maybe, I don't know, can they make home advantage pay a little bit as well? They'll be hoping to take every angle they can there.
Another thing with Limerick is they've developed a quite a deep panel. There's even some guys that haven't made the 26 that would be very, very disappointed, that would have gotten game time even in the last match in the league final. They haven't made it. The Napiershi guys, there's none of the Napiershi guys starting. Peter Casey possibly would have been very close, but he's out till June. He's injured, and he's been injured most of the year.
In the county, as a discussion point, is that a huge surprise, or did it?
What I would say this is,
because they did come in so late.
Yeah, that's it. They are at a disadvantage. John Kiely has a settled team with a settled group, and then you're bringing in. See, after the National League, it appears you got an extra game, so they didn't get to play. Then you're straight into four rounds of club championship, two football and two hurling. So there was a lot of lads missing, so they got no time to bed in. Sure, by the end of the four matches or the Munster Championship, you could have two or three Napiershi guys on. So I can see lots of changes in the Limerick team, because lots of players will need to be used.
Does it give you a bit of confidence that those guys aren't in the side? That you know that if it comes into the last 20 minutes, you've got these All-Ireland champions to be beaten finalists this year to come in on a winning run, know exactly how to get things done, that these could be some very important finishers and impact players.
Exactly. You've guys that know where the posts are. Shane Dowling, that's the role he's one of the subs in 2013, but he came in the last 20 minutes scoring 2 or 3 points in play. If he gets the ball in his hand, he'll score. He's got laser off his left. He's like a laser. David Reedy has been flying it. He's been taking his scores. So, yeah, it's exciting. Barry Murphy will be disappointed he didn't start. Graham Mulcahy has a lot of experience, excellent player, very elusive. So I hope he has a good game. And if we need to use the lads, then I'm confident that they can do the job too.
Dotty, Limerick just permanently seem to be in transition.
Yeah.
Like, they're always the coming team. Limerick might produce something this year.
And that's a horrible tag to have. And even, like, you know, people are talking about Dublin again. Oh, Jesus, they're back building or whatever. You know, at the end of the day, it's championship. It's the now and it's the here and now.
And so maybe this is their time. You know, four All-Ireland finals underage level. They won a couple of 21s. Napiershi have won an All-Ireland. They've got to another final.
Look, and it doesn't always translate. You look at Clare, and, you know, fair enough, they did pick up their senior All-Ireland, but the last 4 or 5 years, they haven't got back to haven't got back to Croke Park. So Limerick, obviously, you know, they have this underage talent, and you know, you kind of, you're as well to strike now as hang around thinking about building the next year, you know. So they're obviously in this position. They've shown throughout the league. I was impressed with them throughout the league. They, you know, they a couple of, you know, down to Galway to win that, to get promoted. It was a huge victory for them. Huge psychological boost as well. So they, you know, and they obviously went on to have great victories in the league and put it up to, right up to Tipperary in that extra time game as well. So I mean, there's no reason why they should be short on belief anyway. So
I don't think the county has produced such a talented skill wise and game sense wise bunch of players ever. If this group of I'd be confident.
How much potential you think
I do?
Is
yeah,
in
I've
there.
Seen like I know what they've been. All the players I've seen, we've all the county's been watching them. They've been playing with Ortscoilriche, Castletroy, and Doon in the Harty Cups, getting to Croke Cups finals. They've been getting to Fitzgibbon Cup finals and winning them. A lot of the lads have got to All Ireland Club finals and won them with Kilmallock, Napiershig.
Have they got that old school Stephen Lucy Warrior Limerick spirit though?
If you watch them, the way they play, they're very combative, and they're the tackling and the work rate, that's what he builds it on. If you look at the players he picks, some other players might be better score takers, but he's building especially the half forward line and work rate. Garrod Hegarty, Tom Morrissey,
and as well.
Those guys, they're also to win primary possession as well, but the work rate, he builds it on that, and they're instilling that into them, and they're all buying into it. So that's key, and they never ever give up. I'm very impressed with them, and I'm excited for them in the next, this year, why not this year?
But I can tell just having you with us that you are excited. There's a feeling outside the county at the moment, and I've seen it referenced a few times, that this is a good time to get Tipperary, that at the Gaelic grounds, hopefully decent weather, real zip on the ball on the surface tomorrow, that Limerick can get this off to the best possible start.
Yeah, they could, but having said that, if Joe Canning didn't score that point last year, you know, Tip may have gone to the final. I would have fancied them to beat Waterford, and they'd be going for 3 in a row this year, and we'd be saying different things, and maybe they wouldn't have had such a turnover in terms of players throughout the league, or an unsettled team. I saw a stat this morning that have they only 3 players in the same positions as the 2016 final. That's a big, big change, you know? Whereas Limerick nearly have the same team right the way through the league, you know? But look, I'd say Tip's advantage is definitely their forwards. They're incredibly accurate, especially the 3 in the full forward line and Noel McGrath. The other two, Dan McCormack and Sean Kern, seem to be workers. So those four and the lads to come on are very good at getting
their
scores.
It's a very sticky fullback. That Limerick fullback line is very strong as well. I think they're very sticky, so that'll be some massive duels going on there as
well. Yeah, so Limerick need to target the debutants in the Tip fullback line. I think they were weak in the league, they shot a lot of wides and they gave away a lot of frees. If they work on those and they target the full back line, they need to shackle those four lads I mentioned and the lads that come on. If Limerick can get that right, I know it's probably a lot.
But look, you know, it's all ifs and buts now until the ball's thrown up tomorrow. But it is just such an exciting prospect, that game between Tip and Limerick. John Milan was writing in the paper today that it's one of the more unheralded rivalries within the Munster Championship. We hear so much about
Ask any
Tip
Limerick
and
supporter.
Cork.
It's Limerick Tip. You know,
there you go.
They're all talking about it.
The other game tomorrow is equally as intriguing. It's a Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Cork the Munster champions, against Clare, who have done nothing in the championship for the 5 years before they won the All-Ireland. They've done nothing, if you just said, Dotsy, since they've won the All-Ireland. So for that reason, I actually expect nothing from Clare, because generally they offer up nothing in the championship, and they haven't taken a scalp of any description in the championship since winning it in 2013. So all of that points towards a Cork side, Dotsy, at home, a side that's going to win this game. But then, brand new management team.
Yeah, and
over Cork themselves.
I don't know. I think was it the only game they won in the league was kind of the relegation playoff.
Yeah, it's Waterford.
So, I mean, again, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? We just the unknown, and you know, one of them teams might, you know, is going to pick up a win there tomorrow, and it'll give a huge shot in the arm and a huge kind of to drive forward as well. But as you said, Clare, for all their talent and for all their, you know, look at that record. It's shocking. They're going to be really. You know, they've obviously got the guys over them who are with them at under 21 as well. So they're going to hopefully maybe reignite them glory days to some degree as well. But I think they should be, you know, they're really going to be trying to just both teams nailing down this first game and just trying to get off to a positive start. You know, so Cork again, a lot of questions there as well. I think the Clare full back line, maybe. I think it was mentioned that there might be a possible weak link there as well. So I think you'll see Cork targeting that and looking for, you know, potential kind of weaknesses there. And I think if they could make inroads into that, I think Cork would have the potential to do a lot of damage.
It's a very familiar looking Cork 15, Stephen, mm-hmm. bar maybe Sean O'Donoghue in cornerback and Robbie O'Flynn, who's been picked from the Aaron's Own Club on the wing at wing four. But the rest of the players, they roll off the tongue very quickly. Mm-hmm. So familiar with them last season. So certainly on paper, it looks like a Cork team that's capable of big things. Mm-hmm. What are your expectations
tomorrow? Home advantage is vital for Cork, and the Cork hurling supporters, they'll bring a big, big following. So that'll be a definite advantage for them. Their record in the championship, it goes against Clare. If you looked at the Clare players individually, they have huge talent, but putting it together, I don't know why they haven't managed to get victories in the Munster Championship. It's fairly
cutthroat. They're real enigma, aren't they? It's a mystery, yeah, really, why they haven't backed it up.
It's very cutthroat. But then again, this new Munster Championship throws a lot of the way we've kind of tried to predict and follow championships and league into championship now, because people mightn't have been doing what they've done heretofore in the league because there's a round robin in the Munster. So you don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. That's what makes it so exciting. The Clare full forward is really good and will take minding. Like, I don't know what he scored, 21 points against Limerick in the quarterfinal. He was very, very good. You know, I would give Cork certainly maybe three, 4 points, possibly, if I was to tip it. But, you know, I'm not good at any gambling, so don't live to that.
But it just shows, like, really apart from the Kilkenny-Offaly game, we are struggling to pick a winner on any of these matches. Mm. And that's
the
great place
they can all beat
in.
Each other, yeah.
That is a great place to be in. Stephen Lucy, Dátaí Chailleán, thanks so much. You've kind of teed it up nicely. We look forward to tomorrow. We'll have reporters at all the games tomorrow. I'll be at the Gaelic grounds to see Limerick take on Tip. It'll be a big crowd. Hopefully the sun will be out and it'll be an occasion to savour.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.